Welcome to the Gym Lords Podcast, where we talk to real gym owners and share their stories, their trials, and what's working for them right now. To apply to be a guest on this podcast, click the link in the description. Hope you enjoy and subscribe.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Gym Lords Podcast. I'll be your host today. My name is Joe Fitzgerald, and joining us on the show is Mr. Emiliano Morales of UPT CrossFit, coming to you from Mont-Royal, Quebec, our great neighbors to the north up in Canada. Emiliano, how are you today, sir? What's going on?
Pretty good. You?
I'm doing fantastically. I'm really excited to pick your brain on this and get a little bit of an inside look into UPT and how you go about operating this. Before we venture off on that journey, I'm a big believer in context. And so when you describe UPT, because CrossFit, there's a lot of artistic license from box to box in how you guys operate. How do you describe UPT CrossFit and what this gym is about?
So we're a gym that runs mainly through group classes, where we do our best to have qualified coaches that allow people to kind of get rid of that stigma that CrossFit has, where you're going to go do CrossFit and get injured.
Right.
So we focus a lot on technique, and we scale people back a lot, but we also offer, on top of our CrossFit classes, we have Olympic weightlifting section that is both for people who just want to learn technique and people who are competitive weightlifters.
I see.
As well as we offer gymnastics classes for CrossFit where it's purely technical classes. So it's different outlets for people to not just do workouts, but to actually learn the techniques that go into the sport of CrossFit and into simply like the fitness aspect of it and do it more effectively.
Sure. And I think that's what really drove the success of CrossFit is the combination of so many modalities. We can really continually develop skills and further our fitness while not really getting bored, if you will. I don't know if that's the proper description I want to give to it, but I think the novelty of this in that there's so many different paths that you can take allows for longevity in what is the sport of CrossFit, or even simply using CrossFit as a means to what you said, better health, better movement, better physical attractiveness. So a lot of the time, as you described it, more reining in than pushing people, focused on the technique, and keeping people healthy and safe. That's somewhat of an exception to the rule, at least as the national narrative of CrossFit comes about. I think it has a poor reputation, and whether it's deserved or not, I think it has a poor reputation for getting people injured. You guys wanted to differentiate yourselves by going the opposite direction on that. Okay, cool. That helps. And so, Emiliano, take us back to when you got involved with this. I understand this business has been around for quite some time. When did the gym start and when did you get involved?
So we're actually about to hit our 10-year anniversary.
Okay.
For UPT as a CrossFit affiliate. But we, so I started at the gym 6 years ago as an athlete. I was coming off of a varsity swimming career. I had just finished my degree. I was swimming and I had been introduced to CrossFit by my strength and conditioning coach at McGill. And so I already knew I needed another outlet once I stopped swimming. And I was already a little bit involved with CrossFit. So I started training at UPT. And then a year later, I started coaching. And I very quickly, due to like circumstances of changing of coaches and changing of staff, I very quickly started running the gym or taking over a lot of responsibilities. And so I was there all the time anyways. And they offered me, the partners at the time offered me to buy in, and I said, absolutely, I'm already spending my whole life here.
I'm already here, I might as well.
Exactly. So I bought in and ever since then I've been officially running.
Sure. And so it wasn't quite by design. It's more or less as fate would have it, it brought you to the seat that you're in.
100%. It was like if you had asked me 7 years ago if I thought this was where I wouldn't have. I don't think this would have
been. Absolutely not. But yet here we are. So
exactly.
And then walk us through. I think individual perspective is important here. What's been your favorite part about being an owner of this gym? And then secondarily, what's been the most challenging part about being an owner of this gym?
So the thing I like the most is that, especially as, because when I bought in, I was pretty young. So as time has gone on, I've been able to shape it more and more into what I thought was the direction I wanted to be going. And I've been really able to kind of like make it my own.
Right.
And really go, well, the gym goes where I want it to go, essentially.
Yep.
I do have other partners, but they're very good at letting me kind of operate as I see fit.
That's important in a partnership.
100%. But the most difficult thing is that when you're the owner and you're the operating partner, I'm on call at all times.
Yeah,
The phone gym directs to my cell phone.
Yep.
So when I'm not there, I'm still answering the phone. I'm on call at all times. So it's that finding that kind of like work-life balance when, sure, especially with the pandemic, how we've kind of had to like, it's almost like we're restarting a new business every time we've been allowed to open.
Yeah. And Quebec was hit harder than almost anywhere with restrictions, at least not necessarily with cases, with restrictions.
100%. We got shut down fully 3 times.
Right.
So every time we restarted, it was like starting the gym from scratch. Like we had our core members, but everybody else was like, it was starting from scratch. So it was like, you had to get back to hours of working a new business.
Yeah. And so challenging part, I'm sure many, many people that listen to this podcast are gym owners themselves, and they can resonate with everything routes through you, right? Am I an owner? Yes, of course. Am I also head janitor? Am I director of marketing? Am I head salesperson? Am I at that same time head coach? A lot of these hats are worn by you. And so a challenge, but also sort of a reflection of the best part of this, right? You get to mold it in your image because your hands are involved in so many things. And we can certainly explore the pros and cons and challenges of getting outside of that sort of whirlpool here as we go on. But at least for the time being, I want to pick your brain on the business as it stands today. You mentioned the idea of COVID, like we said, starting over a large portion of the membership every time you guys got the chance to reopen. How do your membership numbers now compare to 2019 or so pre-COVID?
So I would say that our numbers are now back to pre-pandemic numbers.
Okay. Optimistic.
That's very good. I think the one area that we probably lost the most and we're slowly trying to get back is the personal training clients.
I see.
Personal training clients are definitely lower than they were pre-pandemic.
Personal training clients that you guys had before, were they also members, or are these separate from the membership? These are
separate from the membership. Who just come in for privates. And those numbers are definitely lower.
Why do you think that is?
I think because it's, if your personal training, because coach is no longer at the gym, then it's easier for you to find somebody else. Like we lost a lot of our staff through the pandemic. Yeah. We couldn't keep them on. So as we dispersed, so did the PT clients. And with every wave of the pandemic, there was a big turnaround in our core members stayed the same, but everybody else who came around, there was definitely a big turnaround. And there's a lot of new faces, and so there you have to restart relationships.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And the idea of staffing and hiring and losing staff throughout the pandemic, that's a rabbit hole that could consume this entire interview. So we'll save that for a conversation for another day at least. But as far as the rebuild in terms of the general membership and in terms of personal training clients, what's been working for you guys from a marketing front to get people interested in joining you guys in the first place?
We post on Instagram.
Okay.
We post on Instagram and a lot of it is through word of mouth. Mm-hmm. We're in a pretty central place in Montreal. So it's pretty convenient for a lot of people. Like we're pretty lucky in our space. We've got a pretty large space and we're located not quite downtown, But basically we go through the intersection of the two main highways that cut through all of Montreal.
Got it.
So we're pretty well located.
Yep.
So a lot of
location has driven a lot of 100%. Interest. You mentioned word of mouth, and then sort of almost what's an extension of word of mouth these days being social media. It's so easy to like a post, to comment, to tag your friends, to share. Yeah. It is the word of mouth of 2022,
yeah,
if you will. And so that's a main driver for you guys as of now, or at least up until now. Has that been more the organic side, posting content, posting videos? Have you ventured into putting an advertising budget behind it? What's that look like?
We haven't. Right when we were heading in that direction, the pandemic hit. So everything's gotten.
Understood. Yeah.
And as we've tried to get, as we've tried to continue to like restart and regrow, that hasn't been so much a priority right now because it requires quite a large expense.
Sure.
And well, we have like 2.5 years of just scraping by.
Yeah. No, I think that's an important point to keep in context here is that for a long time, this wasn't even able to collect any kind of revenue.
That's it.
We were at zero for a good deal of time. And any sort of small business like this, with marketing or any investment that we think is going to grow the business, we've got to be pretty sure that there's an ROI on the back end to feel comfortable sending that money out, right?
Exactly. And especially with like the fear of, will we get shut down again?
Yeah.
Like, will we invest all this money right now? And in 6 months, we're going to have no choice but to close because we're going to be forced to do it again.
Right. Right. Let me pick your brain on this, Emiliano, because I know that there were some success stories, at least coming out of Canada, doing it well. Have you guys considered the idea of any sort of online or virtual aspect of this so that you are able to continue revenue services?
So
hopefully as long as we don't have another pandemic.
Yeah, we did do online classes.
Okay.
We did online classes. And as of the second closure, we also rented out equipment.
Ah, okay. So people were able to train from home.
Exactly. Because a lot of people were like, okay, you're sending out workouts, but I don't want to do burpees for 6 months. Exactly. Right. So, and a lot of people just don't have gym equipment. So we rented out equipment bundles, in exchange for people keeping their memberships.
Yeah.
Whether it be rowers, assault bikes, like some people even took barbells and plates if they had room for it.
Wow.
Dumbbells, kettlebells.
Sure.
Like we basically stripped the gym down to enough to keep like 2 to 3 people working out at the gym at a time. Because for a certain period of we were allowed 2 people at a time. So we could keep some sort of personal training clients at a time.
Yep.
But everything else got rented out.
And so, I mean, of course it seems silly to even address, but you can't change the politics of this. I can't change the politics of this. We have to do with what we have available. You guys were able to scrape by maintaining what you described as the core membership here.
Yeah.
But as you look forward, I guess, assuming that you are able to operate with full capacity and no restrictions, is there a membership number that you guys are shooting for in the longer term? Is there a goal to this?
I mean, right now we're roughly about 150 members.
Okay.
We'd like to get closer to roughly around 200.
Okay. That's the sweet spot. Got it. Okay. And then I guess expand this out longer term for me, because I think this is a fun thought experiment, at least. Say you get to 200. Say we get there end of the year.
Yeah.
What comes next? What's sort of the bigger term? Bigger picture for
One of the things that I like doing the most is programming. I do a lot of on top of the personal training clients and the classes, I do a lot of personalized programs for clients who want more and who want to come in and do more. They want to dedicate more time, whether it be competitive or they have specific gymnastics goals or specific weightlifting goals. Like I do enjoy programming a lot. And it would, if the gym grew to a point where the ball would just be rolling, I would very much like to sort of expand the market to which we sell programming to, like start.
Okay. An interesting revenue source that, again, is probably not tied to physically being located in Montreal or elsewhere. Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
Is that
something you guys are doing now?
Yes. Like right now, a lot of the people, it's
on a smaller scale, at least.
On a smaller scale, right? Like we'd like to expand that. We're also adding different classes. We're just starting more cardio muscular endurance class for those who think CrossFit is too intense, which fair enough. A lot of people feel that way.
And they each their own, yeah.
Exactly. So we're starting a new, like, more cardio muscular endurance, still functional movements, but taking away the high skill gymnastics and the heavyweight lifting. So we're expanding to a different market there than our usual clientele.
Do you think you'll keep the affiliate name?
At least for the time being, yes.
That's sort of an interesting discussion amongst the CrossFit world, at least.
It is 100%, and it's something that we discuss. But for the time being, yes, because it still allows people to like look us up and immediately have it's like through the search engine, and just simply they look up gyms in our area, or they look up people who are coming in who already did CrossFit or moving to Montreal, or like CrossFit gyms in Montreal pop up right away.
Yeah, and you've done 10 years of branding work to get to here, so that makes sense.
Exactly, we've been in it for 10 years, so
yeah. Well, it's certainly an interesting conversation, and the state of the CrossFit world is certainly in flux and in an ongoing change, but yes, for you guys, it's cool to see that you're able to run a successful operation outside of that, right? We're not tied to the hardcore image that CrossFit gets or the reputation that CrossFit has sort of carved out for itself. You guys...
Yeah, we definitely
focus on a grander picture than that.
Exactly. Like we want to focus on, like we take our interpretation of the original CrossFit, right? Like something that allows us to move properly and do well, but also understand that not everybody needs to do a perfect overhead squat, right? Or do handstand pushups. Right, like we can modify in a way that allows them to be equally as fit. And if they don't like being upside down, they don't like being upside down. So
fair enough. Yep.
Right, like people. Exactly. It's just that. It's allowing to like being flexible with our clients and a lot, because at the end of the day, what you want is you want your clients to come in, be happy, don't not feel like you're forcing them into something. Like not everybody's going to want to be a competitive CrossFit athlete. And we have our competitive CrossFit athletes who want to compete and want to do things. And we have a group of those people, and that's awesome. But for the general members, that may not be the case. They may want to get a muscle, but they may never want to go upside down.
Yeah. So things like that. For sure. Well, Emiliano, I think that's a pretty good place for us to start to wrap this whole thing up. I think it's an interesting case study of how to survive in an environment where you have a lot of things in your control and you have even more things outside of your control. Yeah. So I appreciate your time and the insight. Before we sign out of here, I want to give you the chance to tell people where they can learn a little bit more about this. Is there a website? What was the Instagram handle? Where can people find you?
So our website is uptcrossfit.com, and our Instagram handle is @uptcrossfitmtl. And so yeah, it's pretty straightforward.
Simple and straightforward. Yeah. Love it. Sir, I really appreciate your time. And like I said, I think anybody in the industry willing to be a little bit humble and admit where we do have some deficiencies, but also at the same time celebrate our wins that got us this far. I can't thank you enough for your time. I'm excited to see what the bounce back looks like, and hopefully you guys are able to be in the clear as far as restrictions. So we wish you luck. We wish you nothing but the best. Emiliano, I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
And to everyone who tuned in today, thank you as well. Don't forget, if you'd like to be notified about future episodes, hit like and subscribe. If you're interested in joining us to talk about your business model within the fitness industry, click the link in the description, fill it out. Our team will be in touch with you soon. And as always, until next time, Gym Lords out.
Thank you for listening to this interview, but Don't go anywhere. We still have two more incredible interviews coming right up inside this episode. But if you're a gym owner that's looking to get more clients, keep them longer, and make more money, head to the link in the description of this podcast and schedule a free leave your credit card at home consultation with one of our business consultants. You see, here at Gym Launch, we've helped over 4,000 gym owners across the world increase their sales, take home more money, and build the business of their dreams. And it simply starts with a phone call. Click on the link in the description of this podcast to schedule your call today. Now, let's head into the next interview.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Gym Lords Podcast. I will be your host today. My name is JJ Hernandez. And joining us on the show today is a very special guest. It is a duo, kind of. It is Hannah and her 7-month-old baby, who's not born yet, but she's on the way. Or he is on the way, not so sure. She can probably introduce him. Yeah, there we go. And it's Hannah with Hannah's Fitness. Hannah, what is going on today? Happy Tuesday. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. Just after 4th of July, so getting back into the work week. So nice, steady day today. Doing good.
There we go. Yeah. Yeah. Look, we're excited to have you on. And before we dive into the nitty gritty of what you have going on with Hannah's Fitness, you know, first, Hannah, why don't you give us a little description of how you would explain the business to somebody, right? If I came in and I'm like, hey, so tell me a little bit about what you guys do here. How would you describe that to me?
So I guess I'm really big on getting somebody started with a consultation, telling me exactly what they're looking for. I tell them exactly what I provide. And I'm really big on, if it's not for you, I will be glad to refer you out to somebody else. But most of the time there's maybe been one or two other people I've sent somewhere else. Other than that, we're looking at mostly weight loss, weight gain, muscle tone. And then I train a lot of athletes. I've been an athlete my whole life. So that's one of the big things that I do. I teach form shooting for basketball. I can do all the speed agility stuff, but the specialty is basketball. That was my thing. So yeah, we do a lot, and we just kind of make sure everybody feels comfortable and knows exactly what I'm looking for, what they're looking for. And usually it's a pretty good fit.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. That's great. And I think that's unique with the basketball players who come on here prior, but that's awesome. And so, you know, for you, what's been the best method of getting people to come through the door, right? So your best marketing practice, what's worked well for you guys?
So honestly, I mean, just in this small little area, it's been kind of lucky for me. Within the past, I'd say 6 or 7 years, I really haven't had to advertise much at all. I just keep getting people coming through the door. And I think for me, it's mostly word of mouth, because I make it so, I just make it such a big deal to let my clients know that, you know, I'm here for you. And you give me any suggestions on what's going to keep it interesting for you to keep training. I always am throwing new things at them to keep it interesting for them. So I would say the biggest thing for me is just keeping it entertaining for them, not the same old thing. Switch it up every now and then. And also, I'm really big on making sure they're seeing results. So I will, I do measurements, I do weight, and I also do pictures. Of course, those are optional, but I highly recommend them. That way they're seeing those results, and that makes them more motivated to come back. A lot of people, they'll be working out for so long and they get so frustrated because they don't think that they're getting anywhere. I think we've all kind of been there. We feel like we worked so hard and we haven't gotten anywhere, but then you look back and you notice that you have gotten pretty far, or realize, wow, well, you know, I'm able to run, you know, 2 or 3 miles, and I couldn't even run a half a mile to start, or something like that. So I think that's the biggest thing to keep getting people through the door.
Yeah, no, I love that. I love that. That's great. That's great. And so, well, how many members are you serving currently? How many clients are you serving currently?
Well, recently I just bumped my hours down to part-time because I am 7 months pregnant. So we are kind of preparing I train all day, every day. It was kind of a lot for me being on my feet that long. So right now I actually only have between, I'd say probably around 20 clients 15 and 20, and that includes my class clients and my personal clients. So pretty small right now. Most of what I do is personal training, but I do a couple classes just to give people another opportunity, especially my personal clients, to get in the gym another day during the week. So they're doing enough. But yeah, I'd say around 20, and I'm only working about 20 hours as well.
Yeah, no, totally fine. And so, you know, with having 20 clients, right, how do you go about the maintenance there, right? Tracking, right? Or you know, just being able to understand where they are in terms of the lifetime value or the fitness journey, if you will. Because I think, you know, understanding if they're on the way to cancer, if they're, well, you know, their package is about to expire. How do you go about the tricks?
So as far as knowing, I guess knowing if they are, how close they are to their end journey. Is that what you're saying? Like, how do I know if they're going to keep coming back? And so,
exactly.
So I always let my clients know as well that kind of flows into the, I am not a pushy seller. I'm here for people who need me. And if they are at a place where they think they're good to go on their own, then absolutely I encourage them to do that if they think they're in a place to do so. So again, when I start, I'll ask them what their, you know, short-term and long-term goals are. And we will kind of make a game plan to how we're going to get there and where we're getting. And I guess with each one of my clients, it is a little different, but that way, when we have those goals written right out in front of us, we kind of both know when they're getting to the end towards that final goal. But once you get there, it's very important that the clients know that you can't stop there. You can't just go back to what you were doing before. You have to either maintain where you are, or if they get there and they're like, you know what, I want to go a little further, I want to do a little more, then we'll keep at it. But a lot of my clients, I have clients who have been with me for, you know, close to 10 years, and they have initially, I guess, reached their ultimate goal, but they keep coming back because they want to stay there, and they don't want to backtrack, and they know that if they're not a part of the gym, that they're just gonna, it's hard for a lot of people to keep that up at home or go to the gym and not have my guidance. So I do think that a lot of my longtime clients, they will get to their end goal, but then I kind of just let them know, you know, if you feel like you can go off on your own and do that, that's great. But a lot of them will stick with me because they know, or they have tried to kind of let off or go back and try their own thing. And they start to backtrack a little. And I let them know, if you start to, even in the slightest bit, you start to gain a little weight back, or you start to lose a little muscle tone, catch that early, come back to me. And that's what we do. And that's what I try to do with everyone, really. So far, it's been working pretty well. So,
You become a staple, right? I think you become, you know, almost like this backbone that they don't realize that they kind of need you, you know? I mean, at least initially, right? Because once you have those folks who become those lifetime clients, because they realize, like, well, I need it. I need Hannah. So
yes,
I think that's awesome. I think that's great. And the fact that you're not, you know, because I think one thing I always live by, right? It's like we run from the things that chase us. So when you're a little pushy, you're like, hey, well, you should stay, or you have to, like, and they feel obligated. That's the worst thing you can do, I think, at that point. So, hey, like, you know, you either learn the easy way or the hard way. You can stick around and you know, come back and stay with us, or, you know, go do your own thing and you'll realize they'll come back eventually, which I think is great. So, and, you know, Hannah, kind of a tough question, you know, because hypothetically speaking here, right? But like, obviously, if leads, traffic, clients, all this stuff is unlimited, I mean, what's your max? How much could you handle? How much would you, you know, or more, even better question, how much would you want to be able to handle on top of what you're already doing now?
That is a great question, because I think about that a lot after I come back from maternity leave. So there's a lot of options that I guess I've just began to brainstorm. I have had probably close to, probably between 30 to 50 clients at a time, including the class and the personal clients. I actually did just bring on another trainer. We're kind of doing a little test run with her, see how she likes it, how the clients like it. And I thought about possibly hiring in other trainers to come in and help with hours. And if that goes well, then I would be able to bring on a lot more people. So, I mean, I guess I'm kind of the type of person, I just kind of go with the flow, honestly. So if I start getting too busy, I'll back it up a little bit and I'll just kind of stay there. And I guess for me, the sky is the limit if I want it to be. If I start getting super busy, and like I said, if it gets too much, then I could maybe take a trainer away or two. But I would be perfectly fine with maybe buying a bigger building eventually and growing into that if that's something that continues to work great for me. So far it has. I've already gone from my parents' shop. I just started out in there, and now I'm in a gym in Cary, downtown. So I'm in a much bigger building than I was before. So, I mean, if things keep going well, then yeah, I would be glad and more than happy to keep growing and keep helping people, because I mean, it really just is, it's just my passion now. I mean, I've gone through my own health and fitness journey, and it is hard to work your way through that if you don't know what you're doing. So one of the greatest things is my clients coming back to me and saying, you know, with letters or cards or even just by mouth, they just tell me how helpful I've been and how important I am in their lives and how much I've helped change their lives. So of course I would love to keep growing as big as I can without being too stressed, I guess.
Yeah. 100%. And I think that's the biggest thing, right? And I think, you know, obviously I feel like it goes in two directions, right? You either get this huge facility or you go to this small, whatever it may be. And I think it's really a matter of picking which direction you want to go to, right? So, you know, what's the bigger picture for you? What are you trying to accomplish long-term?
I would say like I said, I'm a very go with the flow person, so this may change, but my long-term goal for a while now, which I'm slowly working to, would be towards being able to be in the gym myself and help train people, having a few other trainers who, you know, I've taken yoga classes in college. I took yoga courses. And then when I was in, I trained MMA for about a year and a half. And when I was in MMA, they would offer free yoga to the fighters. So I've been in yoga, but at the same time, I don't feel confident enough to take on a class. There's a lot more for me to learn in that section, I guess, of fitness, I would say. But I would like to have different variety for people to come in. So maybe a yoga instructor and different types of instructors. Maybe some men feel more comfortable with a man, some women feel more comfortable with a woman. So have, you know, a guy trainer, have a girl trainer doing different things. And then a 24 access. I don't have that right now. So I've thought a lot about doing either one of those little key fobs or fingerprint type of things, and having a gym big enough to where people can come in around this small area and they don't have to drive so far away, because we're kind of out in the boonies. there's really no, you can drive 20 minutes to Findlay and you have a couple gyms there, a lot of smaller gyms, a couple bigger gyms. But I want to be out here where, you know, people can just come up downtown in Cary and they can get in, get their exercise in. And then if they need extra help, they can find whatever trainer they think fits best for them. So that would be a long-term goal for me for sure. Bigger place, more equipment, getting people in and out as they please and being there for them if they need us.
Yeah, 100%. And so last two questions for you, Hannah, my two favorite questions. You know, in the fitness and gym industry, there's about three pillars of business that we typically use, and we've been discussing them throughout this whole entire podcast. And that's going to be your lead generation, which is your marketing, your client acquisition, which is your sales, and then your retention and ascension, which is keeping your clients longer, but getting them to buy more from you in that process. So Hannah, of those three, where do you feel like you could improve the most?
Well, I am a, I definitely think that there's always room for improvement in any aspect, honestly. But I would say probably marketing, because I think that I could bring on a lot more people if I actually, you know, get to the point where after maternity leave, I come back. I think that marketing will be something that I do work on and need work on, because like I said, for the past several years, I haven't been advertising at all. And it's a lot of word of mouth and it's been enough for me, but I'm almost feel like I'm going to have to not necessarily start over, but in a sense, I'm going to not be training for the next couple of months or at least a month. So I want to make sure that I get my past clients back, and I'm going to have to probably build up some clientele there. So marketing has never really been a super strong point for me. Obviously, it's better now that we have, you know, Facebook ads. Everybody, I feel like, has a Facebook. So those are easy, but getting out there and putting up, you know, flyers and business cards and maybe even, you know, sometimes billboards, stuff like that. So I think that would be a spot where I could and will need to work on in the near future.
Yeah. I think everybody, I mean, look, at the end of the day, as a fitness professional, right, you're not supposed to be a professional marketer. You're not really supposed to know how to do it. Yeah. But I think the fact that when you can implement it correctly and do it at a high level, it does make a difference on the business, right? I think, 'cause at the end of the day, getting people through the door is all you kind of really need, especially with your personality. I can tell you just need those people to get through the door, and then you can probably convert pretty easily, you know? So yeah. I think that's the biggest thing. And so one last question for you, and it's my favorite question, which is, you know, if you could go back in time to when you first started the gym and give yourself that one piece of advice that you think you really, really needed to hear when you first started, what would that advice be for you?
Whoa. Okay. I would say just for myself to not sweat it so much, you know, just let it happen. I guess over the years, I feel like everybody deals with stress in different ways, but you know, my business, it was just so, I guess, important to me and new for me. And I never did work under another gym. I just went straight out of college, playing college ball. I didn't pursue the career. I got offered to play semi-pro ball. I ended up coming home, getting married, and that, you know, I took that certification course, and I actually did a hybrid course, so it wasn't all online. We did like an in-person thing, and I got my certification, did the schooling and everything for it, and I knew that I wanted to be a business owner. So very shortly after we had a mandatory internship. We had to do an internship in order to be certified. So that really helped. But honestly, just, I would say the stress. I stressed it so much because I just knew that that's what I wanted to do. And it was so big for me that I was so worried about, you know, getting people through the door and people liking it. And, you know, start just equipment is expensive. I would stress about, I don't have enough, or I'm not big enough. When really looking back, like, those were such great days. You don't need a whole lot to get started. You know, I had the open space for the shop and I had a little bit of equipment. You can go a long way with a, you know, a yoga mat, some dumbbells and a couple barbells to pass around between people. And, you know, just, I guess, living in the moment would have been my advice to myself. Don't stress about, you know, getting bigger for the future and stress about, I need more, or I need to do more, I need more clients. You know, just live in the moment and enjoy that little close group that you have, because everybody was so close and we had so much fun. And, you know, that kind of continued on to now. Now it's a bigger group, but we still have a lot of fun. And I'm certainly not, you know, any huge gym by any means, but I've come a long way, and it's just been a blast the whole time. So really, all the stress was for nothing. So that would be my biggest advice to myself, is don't sweat it. Just, you know, go with it. And if it's not working for you, there's always something else you can do. But you know, enjoying it and having you and your clients enjoy it will probably end up to you being more successful, which is what happened to me. So trust myself, don't stress out, and just live in the moment and have fun.
Yeah. Look, that's it. That's a mic drop of an answer there. Way to close it out. Like, it's a good place to wrap things up on this episode. But before we sign out here, Hannah, please shout out your Instagram, Facebook, website, anything you have. Where can people find out more about you and the gym?
Yeah. So, you can go into Facebook and type the at sign and type in every day's a fit day. So it's all one word, every day's a fit day 24. That's my fitness Instagram and my fitness Facebook account. Or if you're just searching my name, there might be other gyms that come up or other people that come up, but if you just type in my fitness page's name, it's just Hannah's Fitness Training. That's my Instagram, that's my Facebook. And it'd be great if people want to check it out, follow, learn things that I do. I've listened to a few of your other podcasts and they were great. And I've actually followed some other gym owners and you learn a lot from other people. So yeah, that'd be awesome.
There we go. We absolutely appreciate your time and contribution to the podcast and look forward to seeing what you can accomplish down the road. Just stick around for 1 second if you can, so I can let you know how you're going to get the podcast. I would appreciate it. And to everyone who tuned in today, we appreciate you as well. Don't forget, if you want to be notified about future episodes, hit the like and subscribe button. And if you want to come in and join us, talk about your fitness business, click the link in the description, fill it out, and our team will be in touch with you very, very soon. And as always, till next time, Gym Lords out.
Thank you for listening to the podcast so far. Don't go anywhere. We still have another episode coming right up right after this word from one of our sponsors. The Gym Lords podcast is sponsored by Prestige Labs. Prestige Labs is the first and only nutritional supplements company built by gym owners for gym owners. Prestige Labs solves the problem that all gyms have experienced, the broken inventory model, low commissions, and even lower quality products. Prestige Labs provides 100% drop shipping, zero inventory, PhD formulated high quality supplements for you and your clients. The goal is simple: cover 100% of your rent while never sacrificing your integrity. To learn more or to become an affiliate of Prestige Labs for free, apply at affiliate.prestigelabs.com. That's affiliate.prestigelabs.com. Double your client results, double your income. You can head to affiliate.prestigelabs.com to become an affiliate for free. Now stick around for the rest of this episode.
Use coupon code GYMLORDS on PrestigeLabs.com for 20% off all future supplement orders.
Welcome to the Gym Lords podcast, where we talk fitness business with gym owners who are in the trenches changing lives in their area. I'm your host, Dominic. Today I'm here with my guest, owner of Endeavor Fitness in Invermere, British Columbia, Canada, Joanne Undershoot. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
I am thrilled to have you. We have a lot to cover, so let's jump into it for our audience. Give us a little bit overview of what Endeavor Fitness is all about.
Okay, so Endeavor Fitness, we started in 2009. And at that time, it was a partnership. I took over the business in 2014. We started actually outside with outdoor boot camps. And it was one of the summers that it rained on us twice. So we were super fortunate to have the weather behind us. And we had a pretty good following. So that was May that we started. Come September, we were able to go into Kicking Horse Coffee Building. And I don't know if you know who this massive, massive business is. But anyway, we were able to go into their little dojo and it was about 1,000 square feet, but it was a great start for us because we got a price break and we were able to build our clientele. From there, we're kind of playing and toying with the idea of affiliation. We were doing functional fitness, but more in kind of a boot camp kind of style. And so we didn't become an affiliate of CrossFit until about 2000. And I want to say beginning of 2012. Then we realized that we're going to need a bigger space. So we moved down into the industrial area and doubled our square footage. From there, the partnership went separate ways in 2014 and I took the business over. And from there, we've been in the same location ever since. And we've been doing CrossFit, functional fitness, with a little bit of bodybuilding in there as well.
All right. So I want to talk a little bit about where you are to give our audience a frame of reference. Invermere is a town of only 3,000-4,000 people most of the year. You're the only CrossFit gym in your area. And like the next town over isn't like a 5-minute drive. You're sort of isolated as far as, you know, community, but it also makes you tight knit. So give us a little bit more about the area and how you feel like that's factored into the gym.
Okay. So the district of Invermere is about 10,000 people, but it spans like, how many kilometers is that? I should probably know this, but what it is that situated right in town in Invermere is about 2,900 people. And then you have Windermere, which is just outside of Invermere, and Radium Hot Springs is about 14 kilometers away. There's 800 people there. Then you've got Panorama up on the ski hill. So you've got a certain demographic there as well. So if you factor in the whole radius, it's about 10,000 people, but it is quite a drive from some of these locations. And some people actually do commute. Now in the summertime, because we're definitely a tourist-based resort town, the demographics will swell to about 25,000 people. And we have a surplus of people, mainly from Calgary, which is 3 hours away. So we're fairly isolated in the sense that, you know, Banff would be the closest, I guess you could say, quote unquote, larger town. And they're about an hour and a half away. And then there's Canmore and then there's Calgary.
All right. So in that area, basically at a certain point for the year-round residents, you must know close to everybody, one or 2 degrees of separation, they know you. So as far as, you know, some things that have gone on over the years, like the biggest thing that is in most people's immediate mind is COVID. So you're in a small town, there's provincial governments have all of these, you know, different rules, you're open, you're closed. What was it like for you there in Invermere? Did you make any adjustments? Like what kind of things did you have to do during most of the COVID times? And did you take any of that out now with you post COVID?
It was a challenging time for everybody, right? But luckily, I'm pretty good at adapting to change. There's definitely stress that's involved there, but initially we didn't know how this was going to turn out in the beginning, and there was a lot of fear, right, associated with it. So when we had to shut down for the first time, what I did, and I know that a lot of other gyms did similar things as well, is I did like a kind of like a rent out your own equipment, and then we did everything by Zoom. So I still taught all of the classes at the same times, but they were all through Zoom. And then I rented out packages of equipment, and people just kept paying their same membership rate, unless there was people that were also affected. Some people lost their jobs. Some people weren't working. And so we had special rates for those individuals, but we also came up with a program that was called Adopt a Member. And Adopt a Member was a program where anybody that could financially would pay somebody else's membership if they couldn't, so they could keep going. So it was really super creative. And we were able to get through that first initial phase of closure. Now, when we opened back up again, it was like Christmas time. It was crazy busy. Like, I think that some of my numbers comparative to the year prior were either right on par or even a little bit better, right? And we're going along and we're thinking everything's great and we're over this big hump and this and that. And then of course the fall hits, right? And it's back to closing again, or back to on limited member access. We had to follow certain protocol. And in my gym, about 2,000 square feet, I mean, I was at a point where I was teaching, sometimes I was teaching double classes. I'd have the local hockey team in, and I'd have them on a separate program at one side of the gym. And then I'd have like, and that was about like 12 students, and I have another 12 students in a class on the other side of the gym. So it wasn't it wasn't outside the ordinary to have about 24 people in a class. You take that down to, you know, what was happening, where we were limited sometimes to 8 or 10 people because they had to have a certain square footage. Sometimes we could do higher intensity. Sometimes we couldn't do higher intensity. Sometimes we couldn't hold it as a class. So we had to have just open gym space where I provided the programming and offered quote unquote personal training to each individual. So we've really like adapted on the fly several times.
Yeah, it really sounds like it. So now you're, we're as post-COVID as we can feel comfortable saying, right? Depending on how superstitious we want to be. But what do things look like for you now? Have you had, you know, a good percentage of your clients return? Are you doing anything different with spacing? Some people found they liked going to smaller classes and gyms have adopted that. Like, what's it look like for you now?
So for us now, people know everybody in the class because we are a smaller community. They know everybody in town and stuff. So it's, you know, they're fairly, I would say most people are fairly comfortable working within, you know, close to proximity to other people. But we still have kept a 10-person class limit. If there happens to be the odd occasion, there's an 11th person or 12th person, I'll do my best to fit them in. We've kept quote unquote stations. So everybody has their own station. They'll go and they'll grab their equipment. They'll bring their equipment back to their station. We might share the odd thing if like a squat rack, if everybody's comfortable with it. So what I have found is people have gotten more and more and more comfortable, and those people that were not comfortable to begin with, they left a long time ago. I still to this day operate a virtual class at 8 a.m. Monday through Friday. And I do have 2 to 3 people who are still renting out equipment at home that do the virtual class as well. But it's nice for some of my students that are traveling back and forth that they can just log on to that Zoom class anywhere that they're at, and they can still participate with the class. So that's kind of what we have. And I have heard from the members too that they do enjoy the smaller class setting. So that's, you know, great feedback too, because sometimes there's individuals that will get lost in that larger class, right?
Yeah, for sure. And one of the things that you said was that, you know, most of your clients at this point, they know each other, they know who they're working out next to, but it's also going to be some familiarity with you because you're there 99% of the time. You're still right here in front of them coaching most of the classes. So there's going to be some built-in trust with you that you're going to make sure that you keep them as safe as you can also, right?
Yeah. And I mean, we took that take right off the bat that, you know, stronger people are harder to kill. And I mean, if you are eating well and you're training well, you have, you know, you're lowering your triglycerides, you're in probably the best shape of your life. Your immune system, you're going to benefit from that, especially when we're talking about any kind of viruses. And the hardest part about the whole thing is, you know, it's kind of like half-assed backwards. It's like fast food industries can stay open, but gyms need to be closed. So, you know, regardless of our opinions about the whole situation, right? Everybody's kind of looked at it like, yeah, it's really important to make sure that you prioritize your health and your fitness so that, God forbid, if anything does happen and you catch something, right, that your immune system is better suited to handle it.
Yeah, you can tell that you're an OG CrossFitter because as soon as you said that, it's like old Mark Ripito line. He said, strong people are harder to kill and generally more useful. So that's one of those things. I've seen it on the walls of a few gyms too, but it's absolutely proven to be true through this pandemic and through some other things. So here you are, you're there, you're the face, you're doing all these things to keep it going, to keep people, you know, there's a mental health aspect and we'll get into that in a minute, but also in smaller classes, we've seen a lot of people, clients realize, hey, I'm getting more attention, I'm making more progress than I ever did. You know, there you can have people like me who are just generally needy and want more coaching. And then they get to say, oh, hey, this is better than it used to be.
Yep.
And more owners have been able to segue because our clients are not dumb. They know basic economics. Like, hey, like the owner doesn't have as many people. This is a better experience. I might pay a little bit more for it. So I know you haven't raised rates in a long time, but as you are a little bit more premium, a better client to coach ratio than there used to be, you've got some ideas of how you may need to make some price adjustments slightly in the upcoming time. So what does that thought process look like for you?
Well, initially what I did was, you know, we were fortunate enough that we were super creative. So financially we were okay, but I knew there was a lot of people that weren't. So what I did is I didn't raise any of the rates. I just kept them the way they were, even though I couldn't have the capacity. And, you know, it's been really tough. It's been really tough the last year, especially. And so I realized that, okay, I need to do something. And then actually some of my students have actually reached out to me and said to me like, Jolaine, you need to raise your rates. You need to do this. And so what I thought that I'd do initially, just so it wouldn't be so much of a shock, is, you know, there'd be a slight increase in rates, but then there'd also be incentives. We currently have a 6-month and a 12-month commitment rate. So of course, if you're on a commitment rate, your rate is going to be a little bit lower than if you're just buying, you know, a monthly rate. I don't have commitment rates for individuals that are doing a 2-day or 3-day a week rate. So they just sign up for the month. So what I was thinking of doing was just introducing a 3-month commitment rate, which is also really nice for somebody after they've done their introductory classes. And they're just not 100% sure, you know, 6 months is a long time. They're new to all of this functional fitness stuff. And I thought, okay, well, if they can get a slightly better rate, sign up for 3 months, that's good for the gym. It's going to be good for them because they're going to see those results. And then maybe they'll be more inspired to have a 6-month or 12-month after that. I had a punch card before, but what I found was, and I tell people this too, like when you buy a punch card and it doesn't expire for a year or however long it is, you're not building consistency, right? So you're not necessarily seeing the results, but also too, it's really difficult for the coaches when you're that person that's coming in once every 2 months, right? So I took my punch card that I currently had. I went from 10 sessions down to 5, changed it to an expiry of 1 month, just to, you know, making it more of an incentive for that person to actually join a 2-day a week rate or a 3-day a week rate. And I have talked a few people into that, to signing up 2 days a week, just based on the fact that they're going to get better results. So those are just some of the things that I'm working with. And then changing it so that if somebody still thinks that 1 month might be where they want to go and they don't want to sign up for a commitment rate, that their rate will have to be a lot higher than the commitment rates, right?
Yeah. So encouraging people to start building that commitment, regularity quickly, so they can start to see results, because the sooner they get those wins and they get the high fives and the hugs and all the other stuff that comes with it, then, you know, you do it once or twice a week and you can forget, but you come a few times a week and you're like, this is the coolest thing I've ever been a part of. And that's how we all get addicted to the CrossFit bug. So yeah, just encouraging more utilization and making it so that they get their feet under them very quickly. And then it sounds like you're okay either way. Like, hey, do this, get a real feel from it. You're probably going to love it. But if you're not going to, I'd rather you know quickly so that our coaches, our community, we can put our energy into the right place too.
Yeah. Well, we've always been a results-oriented business too. And that's what we're in the business of doing. And I mean, because a lot of people will be like, well, what's different from you from a regular gym? And I'm like, well, let me tell you what's different, right? Everything. I'm the person that if you don't show up for a class, you're getting a text message immediately. right? And it's not just like, why are you here? It's like, you know, are you okay? Is everything okay? Right. So you develop like quite a personal relationship with people. And I mean, you know, you help them through, you know, the bad times and you celebrate the good times. So when somebody's not there and you're just at like a regular global gym, their take on it is like, oh, well, we're making money and no one's using our equipment. That's great. Right. Where when you're a small business owner and you're doing personal training and you're developing relationships with people, you actually care about them and how they're doing, that's something special.
Yeah, for sure. So something we touched on earlier that I want to make sure that we can highlight here, because I think it's super important for owners and for clients, is we talked about these, the personal growth journey, the mental health aspects, the physical well-being that comes from it. We know that a lot of our clients missed out on it, you know, when gyms had to be closed. But for you as an owner, not being able to be in the gym, there was some detachment there and things, you know, that affected you. So it was just as important for you to be there, not as much, you know, financially, obviously, for the health of the business, but for your overall well-being. So can you kind of tell us how those things tied together in your eyes for the members and for you?
Yeah, it was really challenging for me because I, like I said to you before, I felt like I didn't have a purpose anymore. And, you know, I started this business in a partnership when I was 38. So, you know, I wasn't a spring chicken. And, you know, I was a district supervisor for a retail chain prior to that. And I was always, you know, working for somebody else and so on and so forth. But for this, you know, this has been something I've always been passionate about, fitness and nutrition. And I just got a late start into actually following my passion. And, you know, when I don't want to say it was taken away from me, but, you know, the breaks were, you know, was put on hold, right? You're getting up and you're like, well, you know, what am I going to do here? And, you know, you're thinking of all your students and you're, you know, like I can't help them. And, you know, everybody's going through this challenging time in their life. So yeah, it was a big struggle personally. And trying to stay self-motivated that, you know, the outcome was going to be positive, right?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot in that sense of purpose, and that can mean a lot of things to a lot of different people, but, you know, it's in the micro gym industry, whether it's CrossFit or personal training or things like that, it's different in a lot of instances, and I can't paint on everyone's canvas, than somebody owning a big box gym or a franchise. A lot of those times you get people who are just in the corporate world, they're investors. It's a spreadsheet. It's not, there isn't that personal interaction.
Yeah. It's a job. It's a paycheck sometimes, right? It's a job. It's a paycheck. Whereas what I do, it's, you know, CrossFit owners, we're not making a lot of money. Right? We're not in it for the money. We're in it for
not enough. That's for sure.
We're in it for the people. We're in it for, you know, that person that, you know, learns a skill for the first time, that person that, you know, has been overweight all their life and they lost 20 pounds, that person that has never lifted weight before and they just did a 200 pound deadlift. You know, there's so many celebrations, right? And that's why we're in it. I mean, we still need to pay the bills, right? But, you know, that's kind of what is inspiring the owners, the coaches, is those kind of experiences that you're sharing with them. So, I mean, you know, for me, it's like, we have to always be strong to be strong for our people. Right. And so it's a really interesting thing when you're struggling, you know, with your own personal self, with just things that are happening, and you're the one that everybody's looking to and counting on, right?
Yeah, you have to, as the cliche says, you have to make sure your cup is full before you can pour into other people. And it's usually ourselves who you know, we look at last, because by nature we're givers in the business. We're trying to spread everything, and we get spread thin. So there's, I don't know that we ever find balance in our position, but at least save a little bit for ourselves so that we can do more for everyone else, I think is usually the most we can hope for.
Well, I have to say too, like the positive thing that's come out of all of this, you know, we touched on the class size and how the students are really enjoying like a smaller class size. But the other thing is like, I was working crazy hours. Like I would coach four classes in the morning. Twice a week, I would coach the hockey team for 2 hours. Then I would train as a games athlete for 2 to 3 hours. And then I would start my kids class into a teens class, into two adult classes. Then I was taking nutrition. I was taking clients on the side and doing one-on-one nutrition calls with them. And I had 7 calls a week. I had Tuesday, Thursday nights off. And that's when I do all my nutrition calls. And then on Saturdays, I'd run an open gym and I would come in and I would also train on the Saturday. So I had Saturday night off. And then Sunday, I would do all my custom personal design programs for students that wanted to, maybe they wanted to, you know, a little extra Olympic lifting, or I coached 2 individuals for strongman. I coached another gal for powerlifting competition. And then there was people that just, you know, they wanted to do more of a bodybuilding style workout. And because I had 20 years experience in that. So I was designing sometimes up to 9 different programs on a Sunday. So it was a full gig, right?
For sure.
So this for me has kind of forced me to make a lifestyle change and stop and slow down and spend more time doing other things outside of work, right? And because of that, I now have a relationship. I am enjoying not coaching as many hours, and I think it's really been good for my own health, right?
Yeah, I could imagine. So I think that's a great way to kind of bring this full circle, is we know what it used to look like and we know what things look like for you now. What's ideal? Is it somewhere in the middle? Like if you could paint a picture of where Endeavor is a year or two down the road as all the dust settles and, you know, things start to kind of shake out the way they are, would it look exactly the way it is now? Or are there some other areas where you'd like to make a couple of tweaks and changes, things like that?
That's a good question. And, you know, still contemplating that as well.
And there's no bad answers, no right or wrong.
Yeah, no. I would say where I'm at right now is a really good place to be at, because I'm able to give what I can to my students, and I'm able to also have a personal life. And I haven't had that in a very long time. So the way that everything looks right now, the only thing that I would say is I need to, you know, tweak a few things with the smaller class sizes, like you were saying, and, you know, increase the rates, keep offering great, like exceptional coaching. And, yeah, it's a really good place to be. So, I mean, at that aspect, I don't really have, you know, I don't have any complaints. And I feel that because I'm not working myself to death, that, I'm just in a better space. So, you know, that's the huge benefit that's come out of all this. There's been a lot of hurdles, but there's been a massive win, right? Smaller class sizes for the clients and more personal time for, you know, the gym owners.
Yeah. More balance and basically a silver lining in what's been a, you know, the COVID dark cloud reorganization for a lot of people. You're trying to find as many positives as you can in it, and just keep adjusting as you go and figuring out what's going to make you the happiest. And and just kind of take it as it comes.
Yes.
All right. Well, Joanne, we are just about out of time. I do have one more kind of philosophical question I want to hit you with. As far as we talked about the future, but I like to look back, and it's always interesting to me to see how what we come across and the similarities. So you've been doing this as an owner since 2009. You've competed on different stages. You've had partnerships. You've been sold a lot of things. So I never ask anybody to change what's happened, but if you could go back and give yourself any piece of advice or any one lesson, is there anything that stands out that you'd like to tell yourself somewhere in the past?
Make time for yourself. Right?
I mean, I see a theme here, Joanne.
Yeah, there's a theme here, right? Because, yeah, you know, I got caught up in the crazy work harder, work harder, work harder, not necessarily work smarter. And, you know, just like spreading myself really, really thin and just not really taking enough time to myself. So like that would be myself going back. But I mean, like sometimes you need to hustle, right? And when I started the business, it was a huge risk that I took in a very small town. And if I didn't do the majority of the coaching like I did do, I don't know if the business would have made it until, you know, I built up that reputation, right? So would I have done something different? I don't know, right? Because I am where I am today and I'm still open.
And you're smiling, you seem happy with where things are. You're not being a gloomy Gus and woe is me. It's just like, hey, let's take this and next day we're going to run with it and we're just going to keep doing it.
Exactly.
All right. I love it. So for our listeners, before we let you go, if they want to find out more, follow you, follow Endeavor, what's the website? What are the social media handles? Where do they check you out?
Okay. So our website is just under Endeavor Fitness, and Endeavor spelled without the U. And I'm really original. You can find me just under my own name, Instagram, Facebook, of course. Endeavor Fitness also has its own Facebook page. Also, it has an Instagram page. I'm personally on TikTok as well, and I'm on Snapchat as Badass Babelish. Right? And our email is endeavorfitness@live.com. So lots of places to find me and message me.
And for our American listeners, it's endeavorfitness.ca, not .com, correct?
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you for that.
It's all right. I've had my fair share of Canadian website browsing. So I've made that mistake. You could get somebody completely different otherwise. So endeavorfitness.ca. There's a million places to check it out. Check out Joanne, check out Endeavor. Heck, if you can go in person, I think that she's in one of the most beautiful places in North America. So do that too, drop in on her. Joanne, it's been a pleasure having you here today. I appreciate you making some time for us, and I wish Absolute you continued pleasure. Success.
And I wish you that you can come for a visit soon.
That, yeah, if I could get out there, I will be a happy camper for sure. So for our listeners, we don't want to forget about you. We appreciate you being here. We hope you found value and inspiration in listening to Joanne. If you'd like to hear more stories, hit the subscribe button. We'll notify you when new episodes drop. To everyone out there in Gym Lords Nation, keep changing lives, keep working hard. Gym Lords out.
Thank you so much for listening. If you found this content valuable, here's four ways we can help you grow your gym for free. One, grab a free copy of Alex Ramosi's best-selling book, Gym Launch Secrets, at alexsbook.com. Two, join our free Facebook group at alexsgroup.com. Three, if you're a gym owner, you can apply to be on the podcast by emailing us at podcast@gymlaunch.com. Four, leave us a 5-star review so we can gain access to more gym owners and bring those lessons back to you. And as always, tap that button and subscribe to this podcast for more.